Howdy, everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. Sunday night, 10 p.m. You're doing it right. It's Street Fight. We're here every single week to get you fired up, get you ready to fight against the boss, against the upper class, every Sunday night on WCRS here in Columbus. We want to get your week started, you know, with those positive vibes. We're here for you. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host, as always, is Brian Quinby. We've been now the number one anarcho-comedy radio show on any station across the nation for 5 years running. We are coming to you live if you're in Columbus, Ohio, on June 10th at 7 p.m. We're taking this mess on the road. So please be there to come check out an hour of comedy. We're going to do maybe some live streaming, maybe some other things. I'll mention that later in the program, so please stick around. You can always find everything we do at streetfightradio.com. Of course, that's our central hub. It's our web address. It's kind of a big deal, but that's where you can click around and dig into some of the shows we offer and some of the ways you can help us out. I do appreciate you tuning in, as always. And I hope that, you know, this week, because I was unable to do two shows, I had an issue. I really want to get down to it and use our time on the airwaves to really create some dissent amongst the listeners there in Columbus, Ohio, and really cause a revolt against this election that's coming straight at us.
I think that we've probably been the show that's announced Bernie's demise more than we've done this like four times. Like at the end of shows that were happening on primary nights, we're like, oh, it looks like he's done.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not keeping up with it. I have made that disconnect in my life from it, but you're the one feeding me information. And I mean, I trust your eye on it. So I know you know how to read with your gut and your brain. You have a good handle on both of those. And you've come to tell me that, you know, Hillary Clinton is definitely running with it as far as the nomination goes. But now it feels like, now I notice some people, now I see like the real funerals happening.
Yeah. What happened, the weird thing this week was, like, I'm not going to say that I didn't know that Bernie Sanders wasn't great on foreign policy, you know, or that he wasn't good at all. I had a lot of reservations about it. And like,
I saw a lot of those, and I felt that for me, he seemed like a guy that at least is reasonable and listens to people, or would look into an issue, find out why people are so mad. Like, that's what we complain about. The big politicians don't do. He felt at least like his mind could change on something, or that he could evolve.
But then he said, like, just as he was leaving, I felt like this was like a just as he was quitting his job and I'm his manager. I guess that's not the way I want to paint myself ever, though. So he was like, you know, that kill list, I'm into it. I like that. And we'll probably keep the drones, too. And I'm like, whoa, dude, I mean, you didn't have to like end it on such a sour note. You didn't have to hit me with a chair on the back of the head on your way out the door.
Yeah, he rocked your world. I felt the same thing. I saw someone post it, and they put the caption there, and it was something. It mentioned that he thought that the kill list was completely legal within the framework. And I reread it and was like, "Is this real? Am I missing the part where he said?" But I missed the part where he said, "I realized that it needs to change, or that, you know, something needs to happen." It literally was, at this point, like, his ship is sinking, and he just said, the kill list is completely constitutionally legal. Like, he just yelled that. It's like, Bert, dude, I liked you, man. What happened? We were talking about spreading the love and the healthcare and the college to everybody. Why are you trying to kill those people over in Yemen and Syria and Pakistan, man? What's going on? Why are you bombing? I think we should have to bomb weddings a couple times just to let them know. Like, as this ship is sinking.
True. Yeah, he did. I really felt like he turned on me. I felt like when Roddy Piper hit Jimmy Snuka with the coconut. Like, really hard on
that.
Yeah,
didn't see it coming. That coconut surely isn't a weapon. Surely Bernie Sanders won't just say that he's absolutely behind what is it? It's the splinter in the eye of the United States government, right? I mean, it's obvious. It was very disheartening to me where it was like, I mean, at least I thought you would talk to some people. He's still American though. I mean, that's the problem we have is like America is the problem. People want to be American because they know their life gets to mean more.
He farted in the room and then flipped everybody off and said, screw you, I'm out of here.
You know what? The whole time I was thinking about murdering people overseas to pay for all of this college. I had a way to turn war into a real profiteer or endeavor. I was going to turn the American government into a business where we could kill our enemies and then pay for our healthcare.
That's what it felt like to me. But I'm also super sensitive. Like, if there ever was an emo prog, I'm probably one of those. You know what I mean? I'm like really sensitive because then I'll be like, hey man, what was I doing? Like I was trading the safety of these people on a kill list, you know, for free college, man.
Hey man, it's all free college. Everybody gets to do whatever they want. Totally freaking free, man. But we got to make sure that we kill them overseas. Otherwise, it's going to come to our front door and totally kill our vibes.
It always has to pop its head into the room. Like, hey, you're running a war machine.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we're talking about. Who takes the wheel of the war machine?
Don't forget, this is mostly a war machine. It's less yeah, we spend more of a war machine.
We spend more money on the development of weapons to take lives than we do to enrich the people's lives that are here. Like, they're taking our money and putting us into poverty with their taxation and theft. I mean, you really don't make any money until April, May, maybe June of every single year. I know you get a paycheck, but in reality, for your whole year, I mean, a third of your income is gone. It's all taken away for these people just to go murder people overseas. And that's where we're at. I mean, that's where we're at, too. You know, I mean, I'm sure the guy was probably just doing the astute political thing, trying to compete against Hillary Clinton because her camp doesn't care.
No. Well, that's true. I don't think that there's anybody else. That's what I mean by they're really running to be the head of a war machine, because like that's the one thing they all agree on. It's like, okay, well, we're still going to do the war, okay? Like, Bernie Sanders is like, I want free college. And Hillary Clinton's like, I want intersectional feminism or whatever she's yelling about. And Ted Cruz is like, I don't want gay people to ever feel comfortable. And, you know, so on and so on and so on. You know, John Kasich is just like, I just wish, let me sleep in the house.
Yeah, I think there's a way we can make this work for everybody, where we go, everybody just listen to what I say and then fall in line.
But they all agree on war. That is the one thing that they all agree on that you always have to remember too, because like even everybody in it seems like everybody in Congress, everybody in the government's like, we got to do the war though, man. Like, if we're going to do this government thing, obviously there's going to have to be some war. And it's like, well, what if we don't do the government thing? And they're like, you're crazy. That's a crazy way to think.
Who is going to funnel cash into other countries to prop up governments? And what are you going to, are you serious? You don't think that we should steal money from people and stake claim on American people and use all that money to kill people around the globe who we think might attack us one day? You know, like, there's, you know, like, suicide, the people that are these liberals, these Democrats walk around in fear of suicide bombings, like it's happening, like it's just not happening in the world, and yet we're having to kill everyone else around the globe in response to this thing that just isn't happening. They could get a dirty bomb in there. That's why we need to drone a wedding. That's the discourse we get in this country for the majority of people, and especially those who vote blue no matter who. I mean, that's what your vote goes towards.
Yeah. Well, that's one of the things with like the Hillary Clinton, the people on the Hillary Clinton side being like, well, now we all got to come together. you know, and we have to, I think actually, like, the one thing I am assuming in this election is Hillary Clinton can go as right wing as she wants, because if she's running against Donald Trump, people are just going to, like, kids are genuinely afraid of Donald Trump. I think a lot of parents are going to be like, I can't vote for a president my son's afraid of.
Yeah, I think that will definitely sway. For me, I mean, if I saw my child eyes and it was in fear of Donald Trump presidency, I mean, that definitely gets you right there in the heart. And that,
I have a niece.
And it's nice, man. She can do whatever she wants.
Yeah, I have a niece and she cries thinking that Donald Trump is going to be the president. So, like, I know that, you know, Donald Trump has got a really uphill climb to talk somebody's mom into voting for somebody that gives their kid nightmares.
Yeah, we got to let them know what Obama did, though. The next time your child is crying, you say, you know what, Donald Trump hasn't taken any Latin Americans and thrown them out of the country, but President Obama has done it quite a bit.
Yeah, I always do kind of try to be like, you know, don't worry about Donald Trump right now. It's not a big deal. It's not, it doesn't, you're in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? You try to be like, you're just, because my daughter's the same way. She's like, oh, this Donald Trump. I'm so, like, people at her school, like, call him a Cheeto. Like, they think it's hilarious and they call him a Cheeto.
And oh, they don't know, like, what it's in reference to, though?
No, I think they do. I think my kid told me what it's in reference to. Okay, but, okay. Like, they're afraid of him. Like, kids are afraid of him. And if kids are afraid of him, that's a good idea not to vote for somebody. Like, because when I was a kid, when I was 11, I did not care who the president was.
Go ahead, sorry.
I couldn't even get in my mind how much I didn't care who the president was at that time.
Yes, but weren't you terrified about the Soviets coming and taking over your city?
No, but yeah, I was afraid of nuclear war. That was the thing I was always afraid of, was because, like, I was in the 80s, they still were like, hey, the Soviets are going to nuke us anytime. And I was just afraid of it. But
yeah,
like,
we have a mutual death switch, which means if that a nuke lands on American soil, then we launch enough to end the whole world, because without America, what's the point of having an Earth?
Yeah. Oh, that's cool, though. That's a funny way to think. I never really thought about it. It's like,
the doomsday switch? I mean, that's how you win a nuclear war, right? That was the basis I forgot the name of the movie.
The Book of Eli or The Road?
No. How I Learned to Stop Caring and Love the Nuclear Bomb.
Oh, Dr. Strangelove.
Yeah.
Mutually Assured Destruction.
Definitely.
Is what it's called.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, man. People are tied up. I've already seen some Memorial Day posts where people are like, if you think this is just for cooking out and barbecuing, you know, you need to get something straight. It's like, they shouldn't have went over there. The amount of suicide bombings has drastically increased only in places where American troops are at. So maybe we don't want the troops to come home, because they probably are going to get suicide bombed for all of the stuff they've done.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know what to think anymore. I'm just trying to figure out how we can get out of this without it being like a total CF. I don't want this to blow. I mean, it's like, you want to talk about, I want to be politically engaged. I don't want to be apathetic. I look at people older than me that are like, just give up on it, you know? And it's like, that's not for me at all. But, you know, you can't have an adult conversation with someone like Hillary Clinton. You know, she thinks that she's talking to the help.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know that, like, she's no more comforting to me than Donald Trump, really. Like, when it comes to, like, Donald Trump grew up in New York, at least, and I think he's been around, like, gay people and stuff, and
I heard Russell Simmons on the Combat Jack show said Donald Trump is a Democrat through and through and has always been a New York Democrat, and that this is some sort of publicity thing. But Ted Cruz is going after him for it. You know, I'm not here to stump for Donald Trump or anything, but for me, like, the motives behind it is all So you don't really know what's going on. It is.
It's carny.
It's carny. It's carny. It's snake oil.
He's going to have a McMahon from the WWE, the Vincent K. McMahon family. He will have one working for him in the government if he's the president.
To be honest, if like you, there's people like there's old bosses I have. I think even my father-in-law, if he were just to go to one of these events and say I'd run to be president, I think he would be more likable than anybody they have left. It's astonishing to me that someone like Donald Trump can steamroll the political process, because for someone like me, I don't respect someone like that. I don't revere them. I don't think that they're impressive, and I think they're a pathetic person. Like that, so that other people fall in line and are in all of them is like embarrassing. I just think that everybody should be embarrassed that this is the government we got. You know, it's like, just let's cut the lights off. I'm done. I'm so through with this. I don't want to try to be smart about it anymore. I'm tired of like following the horse race like it's any importance, you know, like it's a farce.
Yeah. I mean, he is like, I think one of the things that really gets me is when I hear him talk. I mean, that's kind of a lot of people I talk to sound a lot like him. You know, that's the way I look at America. It's like, that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the real reflection of what you are.
Well, I mean, it is
some
it
guy
is
that'll run in and say whatever everybody wants to hear.
And very American. Very American. We don't have a trash problem until like a giant piece of trash, a trash earthquake takes or tsunami consumes their whole house. Or we need to find something to do about this trash. You know, it's just like they don't have any foresight whatsoever. It's like, well, right now, I mean, what am I thinking right now? Phew, let me go ahead. Take a seat. Let me think of it. Let me hem and haul some. It is. I mean, it's, you know, for us, it's called entertainment. But for someone like him, I mean, he was born into it. And that's the thing about that high class society is like, I think for me, probably what the biggest punch in the gut, the most disheartening, is just all the poor people out there that ride for the rich. They like totally defend high society and all of their like inbred, nepotistic, awful ways. When it's like, can't you see we're all getting screwed here? Can you at least be my brother and comrade on something like that? Be my sister on this one. Stop sticking up for someone like Donald Trump.
Yeah. I mean, Donald, I think the thing about it is that like, he says a lot of really terrible stuff, but then like, but it sounds genuine. It sounds like he believes it in the moment that he's saying it. And he's, like I said, he's carny. He's like a carny guy. I don't think he'll be our first carny president, because we probably had like 30 of them. I'm sure. I can see how he could talk his way up there. But to me,
there has to be somebody. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, if it can happen now, I mean, America has been the same old thing since it started. So I'm sure there has to have been someone that just completely barked their way into the office.
They were like a lion tamer at the local circus, and then they like gave it up and they were like, I tamed lions. I can tame the crime in this city.
They found a suit in the trash that fit them. And then they went in to go get a soda, and someone gave it to them for free because they thought they were important because it was a nice suit for the time. And they turned that into a presidential campaign and eventually became Woodrow Wilson.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible. There's so many you've never heard talk. That's the interesting thing to me. I'm like, man, what did they sound like? But I always assume
you have
they
to
have
hear their voice. You don't want to have nerdy voices.
Yeah. Well, now they can't have them. They got to have, like, a good voice.
Oh, it's PR. Know? I mean, the John Kennedy thing is a legend that they always tell you in high school politics about how he won because he was smart with makeup and all the other stuff. So they really get you into the allure of it, like, at a young age. And now it's like, yeah, you have to have your PR stuff together. Like, that. People admire Hillary Clinton's, like, PR staff, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah. The people that got him on Broad City,
yes,
and they make all the gifts of her.
Yeah, and this is who's going. I mean, this is who we get, man. This is handed down to us, our progressive that we needed.
What an embarrassing! What an embarrassing choice.
I agree.
That is.
I don't
it's
like.
Beautiful in a way. It's beautiful in a way because we started this show, you know, 5 years ago, and probably didn't have any kind of real confidence that the whole country was going to go into the toilet. And now it's 2016, and like we're swirling down the toilet. It's like already, just in this short amount of time.
The Trump is an albatross for sure. He's a black swan event. I mean, this changes a lot of things. If he can really roll through, if they can't come up with some sort of way to snaggle him or to prevent him from getting it, I mean, at this point, as far as his pride is concerned, he has to keep going. But if they can find some way through paperwork or signatures to get him out of it, I'm sure they will. But like, he is an absolute albatross of like the world is going to be different. The world is different. This is just like we're entering some very unprecedented times. Connection of everybody has made this groundswell. It really is Age of Aquarius. You know, not
the government,
not in like the positive type of vibes, but just like a completely new era.
The government looks a lot less sophisticated now. You know,
yeah, I mean, the president, you want to elect the president's old wife or a reality TV star.
You're fired. Like we're electing a president that's been on a WrestleMania. He's going to break so many. Man, he is good. He's going to be something. He's probably done a Pizza Hut commercial.
He could be our next Ronald Reagan, though. Ronald Reagan had some acting chops.
Oh, no. No, don't. Yeah, I guess. I don't want to say Ronald Reagan was a good actor because I never saw him act. But, like, Donald Trump is just, like.
Better. He's a better actor than Ronald Reagan, obviously. I didn't mean that as a slight against Mr. Trump's acting skills. I just meant to say, I think Donald Trump, if he could go on like some sort of live cast, maybe on Periscope, and berate a union, like I think he would be able to carry that torch just as well as Ronald Reagan did.
That dude, our president.
You're a bunch of rejects out there. You're basically just paid to move people's stuff for them. You only get $7 or you're fired.
That's true. That is true. Like a Donald Trump.
Cheer that. Give me less. Give me less. I'll cut throats. I'll cut throats. Some people like to be scum on the bottom of the shoe sometimes, it seems like. But go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things I saw one of the things I've been seeing a lot is like conservative websites celebrating because McDonald's has put in like computerized kiosks, like touchscreen kiosks in their store so they don't have to pay employees $15 an hour. And these websites are just posting stuff and saying, ha, 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 ha. These people wanted $15 an hour. Now look. And it's like, what are you laughing at? Like, this is.
Yeah, this is a travesty. This is a sad. This is a crime against humanity we're witnessing here.
This is a nightmare. Like, this person, I mean, you know the person has to eat, right? Like, they have to get food to live. And they're going to probably have a survival instinct. I'm just saying.
I mean, people that make $250,000 a year in the United States of America, they can pay all of their bills and they can do all of their stuff. If you're not making that amount, then you're most likely have some things on your credit report you're not looking for. And if you're trying to live in a city in 2016 and get paid under $10 an hour, that's absurd, man. Like you're literally telling someone that their life should be just awful. Depression. You deserve, you're less than nothing, man. For people that make burgers come out of windows within 2 minutes, you know, like that. I mean, I respect that all day. I want mozzarella sticks from a window and it's 4 a.m. Who's going to be there? Hopefully someone that can afford a house, you know, like someone, because they are my dude. That's my female. That's like that's ride or die for me. Someone that stays up all night long and makes French fries. So why do they have to be struggling? Why should they be begging and crying to get their bills and their electricity turned back on?
Yeah, I see. I still keep seeing people say, you know, these are jobs for teenagers. And I like, why do teenagers work? Teenagers shouldn't have to work. Okay. Let's just say it. Let's just throw it right out there. If there's not enough jobs for the adults that want jobs, let's not make the teenagers work.
Yeah. I mean, okay? It's a small amount of your life. It's a very small portion of your life. And the stresses of working, I don't think, are beneficial.
You know, a lot of kids start, and I know, I'd like, a lot of kids start using drugs because they get a job at their first job. That's when a lot of kids start heading down the wrong path. And like, that maybe wasn't true for me, but I'm sure I got some kids on drugs when they started at, like, you know, when I'm working at Chuck E. Cheese or whatever, when I was 16, like, other people came in and got a job and you were probably like, hey, you want to party?
Well, yeah, it's like, they're like, hey, can you give me a ride down to Kroger to get my check cash? And then you're like, wait, you have $264 right now? I'm like, yeah, cash money. Just got it from the Kroger. Did you know what you can buy with that? I have a guy that'll give me a whole bag of acid scraps for $40.
Yeah, let's like, that was what it was like when I was, yeah, absolutely. When I worked at my first jobs at Chuck E. Cheese and McDonald's, those were my first two jobs.
Yeah, for me, I worked at Fazoli's, and then, well, I started a paper route when I was like 14. It was when I was 14. I started a paper route until I was old enough to work at Fazoli's. We do Italian food fast is their slogan. And then when I turned 17, I went to the All-Star Cafe, I think. Hooked up with the sports version of Planet Hollywood.
Yeah. I've been doing I've been doing like minimum wage jobs since I since I got out of college, and like, because
You went for them soft sciences.
I did. I went for a soft science. I just didn't know what I wanted to do yet. But now I know what I want to do. I'm working. I'm going in the direction of it now. But I've worked a lot of minimum wage jobs, and like, I had been in college for 4 years. And the last time I was in the workforce, I had a pretty cushy job. I mean, I wasn't getting paid. I was only getting paid like $16 an hour, but that's, you know, that's a lot.
Yeah, that's worlds apart from $9.
Yeah, that's worlds apart from from $9. And like, but my job had like vacation time and sick time. And even when I did get injured, they paid for the first 6 months before I had to get on disability, you know, temporary disability and stuff.
You can't even get that anymore.
No, I can't get that anymore. That's not even possible. That's what's strange is like not even knowing about workers' comp. You know what I mean? Like how it works.
Can we talk about your situation at work in the most vaguest terms possible?
Yeah, no, I was going to talk about, what I'm talking about is, we can talk about it. I work in a place where I have to deal with FedEx, you know what I, like, where FedEx drops off packages and I do stuff. And I was talking to the FedEx guy and we noticed that his strap, so when you drive a freight truck, there's always a strap up at the top and you pull it down.
To pull the door down. Yeah, on the back of the truck, that rolly door, if you've rented a U-Haul before, any of that stuff, there's a little like seat belt type strap that hangs down.
Yeah, so it was broken and we brought it up and he was like, yeah, man, you know, I went up to grab that and I fell out of my truck, out of the top of the truck and onto my ass.
Because it broke.
What? Yeah, because the strap broke. Not from any fault of that person. And I was like, man, did you take some time off? Did you have to take some time off? Like, workers' comp? He's like, I can't do that. And I was like, why not? And he kind of explained that he worked for a contractor, which is that automatically when somebody says contractor and it's like a blue-collar type job or a service job, I'm immediately like, I shift back to cable guy times and remember how they treated those guys.
Yeah, contractor is really popular these days. If you go looking through Craigslist, that's a lot of the employment that's out there these days. No one is offering employment at all. It's like a contract. We give you money, you do this thing, and we don't know each other otherwise.
Yeah. So, like,
especially with that as soon as that Amazon one day shipping started, like they would be like, "Hey, we're offering a promotion, one day shipping. So you'll get it this afternoon." And it was always someone pulling up in like just a Ford Econoline van that was doing the shipping. So they, you know, they're bidding on the market. Who's willing to drive for 45 minutes to take this package to this jerk that just ordered it?
Yeah, that absolutely needs it right now.
But, yeah, that needs these, that wants the, really, really wants to get this new olive oil spray mister right now.
Yeah, and so when I, somebody who can't be bothered to get up and go to the store to get the diapers for their kid.
No, I'll pay. Oh no, I'll pay for it. I need 1 pound of chia seeds this afternoon.
Yeah. So like I was like, so you can't get workers' comp? And he was like, well, I guess I could. But then my boss, all he has to do, and I remember this was the case at the cable company, only they had the short-term leave thing where they gave you time off because this is kind of a blue-collar job, just like working at FedEx is kind of a blue-collar job. You should be pretty well protected medically by your job. You know, if you're slugging boxes around, then you should be – the people that employ you should be taking care of your frame.
Yeah. Keeping the whole thing running. Yeah, keep the whole thing running. Keep this meat wagon going. I mean, you're responsible. I'm putting it on the line here for you to give you, you know, your results that you're looking for. If I hurt myself doing it, help me out. Buy me a cast. Buy me some pills, at least.
Yeah. It's it really is disgusting, but like, so if he got injured, it would be like, well, can he be placed into another job? And they say no, and then they're like, "We're just gonna have to let you go because we can't put you in another job." And then boom, they can collect unemployment, but like it's like you get fired because you have to take some days off because you landed on your ass on some concrete,
you know? over an accident. Something, you know, like I don't mean to be like, for anyone that's listening along that really loves their boss, I don't mean to say that every broken strap is the responsibility of the guy that runs a company, but just accept that it's going to happen. You know, instead it's like they can create a flow chart of procedures to quietly just make that person exit out the door. Oh, you know what? Well, we have some paperwork that can be done if you have a cast. Oh, it looks like there's someone already doing all the paperwork. We don't need your help. We can just end your contract.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it was and that was the way it was at the cable company I worked for, where it was like the contractors, you could fill out a form and they would take the money back from them for because they would price every little thing they did. You know what I mean? And that's how they would get paid. And then if I just reported that I had to go behind them and fix something that they did, then they wouldn't pay them for that job. It's like, well, but they worked on it for like 5 hours. They did a crappy job, sure, but geez, you know, you can't take all the money away. They did something.
They got it started. All you had to do was fine tune it. You showed up to fine tune it. They at least slapped it all together.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, like, I just think that if you're asking somebody to work hard, if you're asking somebody to throw boxes, carry a ladder, climb things, be in like a bucket truck, like let's not do this contractor thing. You know, let's just give these people the real job. Let's stop this cost cutting. You know, all this cost cutting does is it costs us like people well paying jobs. It takes all the jobs and it just pays everybody $4 less an hour to do them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but that's what gets us to this place though, is like, you know, I'm more than willing to put the effort forth. A lot of people want to put the effort forth to keep like our civilized society together. But why can't? But we need to adjust it in a way that addresses these issues. Why? How can a bunch of people sit around and not have any regard for like the lives of the people that are on the line for doing things like fracking, even, you know, like you take it to the extreme, fracking to like throwing boxes to whatever it is, you know, like these are the people who just have to be taken care of. And you know what, this independent contractor thing is absolutely a result of that Affordable Care Act that Obamacare going through, is because you can't, you know, now that you're responsible for people, it becomes cost cutting measures. It becomes a matter of filling out a spreadsheet in a way where you stay in the black, where you don't spend too much on your employees. And by just contracts for laborers is okay, man. I remember, you know, Longaberger was a huge, huge job 20 years ago before, you know, 20 years ago, people coming up in Ohio worked at Longaberger. They paid per piece. So as long as you build a basket, you got paid per amount. So people would go in there that were highly skilled at building baskets and got like tons of money out of it. You know, like that's a fair shake to me. You know, it's a fair shake to provide healthcare to people. And then, you know, contracts makes more sense. Contracts makes more sense in a world where someone can take time off because they're injured or because the accident happened, because a strap on of the back door of a semi truck broke and I fell on my back.
Well, you know, that's always something I think about when I got injured with my wrist, was like immediately after that I was filling out incident reports with my broken wrist.
You mean while your wrist was broken? Before a doctor had looked at it, you had to register the event with HR.
Yeah, I'm filling them out before I go to the doctor. It's like they get there, they're like, all right, you got to fill out an incident report and we got to do this. And I'm like, a guy just waved a gun in my face. Let's take a minute and like let me get my thoughts together. I have a broken wrist and a man just waved a gun in my face. They're like, well, you know, we got to really get these as close to time yeah. as possible. You know,
I'm required to timestamp this, and if I go over 180 minutes on my timestamp, I could potentially lose a star on my review in the upcoming quarter. So I'm not putting my behind on the line for the likes of you.
I don't want to get written up, okay?
Yeah, I don't want to get written up because I didn't get your report. That was when I got caught stealing all the money from Abercrombie, and they were like, we want you to read these papers and sign. I'm like, if you're firing me, I'm walking out right now, and you're not going to like detain me or arrest me, or I'm going to my car and you'll never see me again. Like that was the end of our relationship right there. You don't have complete control over my body, you know, because you can tell by the way I'm looking at you, I'll go for your throat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like libertarian land where your job can detain you until you fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, that's true. Well, technically you signed a binding agreement with your employer where they will have the right to detain you in HR offices. Yeah, I mean, that's their kind of Mad Max world that they're coming up with. Like, they want access to everything. I mean, you know, like I do too. I for me, it's hard because I know I have radical beliefs, but I want to get everyone else in on it. Like, I'm always trying to make the ship bigger in a direction that just takes care of everybody, because that's the obvious thing to do. And it seems pretty easy as long as people don't have like five homes and foreign cars and all that, you know?
Yeah. Some people want those though. I mean, that's the problem, that the people that have them.
Right, they already have a stake in it. They're like, no, I mean, I really love this Lamborghini. It's like the best thing, and I can keep your wages super low by just taking a little bit of the money I got and investing it in another person, in a representative.
Yeah. So, you know, I was talking about that libertarian kind of utopia thing. I saw a meme with Ron Paul on it, and it felt like forever since I'd seen Ron Paul, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he still shows up. I guess for the Street Fight Twitter, when I sign in, I'm in some pretty voluntarist type groups, and I still get some Ron Paul memes where he's like, hands are up in the air, like, what's going on?
Yeah, well, this one was like about how cannabis oil kills cancer cells. And I'm not here to speak. I'm saying this is what I'm going to say. If you have cancer, don't just depend on cannabis oil, please.
Yeah, figure out what they're actually talking about in the meme. Don't just think that if you do a bunch of weed, your cancer will go away.
But, That's my stance on this. Is like, I don't, you know, whatever the research says, it says.
There's some good science. No, even Stefan on the show we did before the last one, I think Stefan had to acknowledge that they had found some way to prevent cell growth with cancer through cannabis stuff. I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, it's pretty amazing stuff. Once you see that chick, that girl that had, she's a chick at the bar. No, this young girl that it's like having 100 seizures a day, and then she just stops it because of CBD oil.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've seen those. I have it's definitely drastic. Seen those. Yeah. Yeah. That stuff. It's just the cancer thing. I always worry about.
You worry. Yeah.
I just worry about alternative medicine sometimes when it comes to that, because sometimes people might just not.
A lot of it boils down to like just putting extracts in water and stuff. So you really got to be thorough. They like science and medicine has come pretty far in taking care of this stuff. So don't cut that out.
Yeah, try to keep an open mind when it comes to science and medicine, because the other thing in the meme was vitamin B17, Brett. And I was like,
I don't know 17. I keep track of all my B vitamins due to not eating meat, and I don't even know about 17. So I'm not even woke about that.
Well, that's how I feel too. And I was like, there's an illegal vitamin. I need to get my hands on it.
Definitely, man. Some of this stuff, I mean, even melatonin, it will like change your brain chemistry. So more B vitamins. I'm definitely on that tip. I take a B complex, you know, from time to time. So
yeah. There's what does another B one? Do you know what B does? What vitamin B does?
Oh, most of the vitamin B makes up most of the compounds that make up a protein. Like it's the individual amino acids that make up a protein.
Yeah, so this is an extra level of vitamin B. So I post on Twitter, I'm like, hey, does anybody know where I can get some of this vitamin B17? And I got like three immediate responses from people that were like, that's cyanide. And I was like, what? No. And then I got the Wikipedia page, and it actually is. It's cyanide. It's inside of
That doesn't sound like a vitamin at all.
No, it doesn't. But it feels like I put that in the world because – or it maybe is just a thing that geniuses think up. It's like a good marketing thing, because I tried to say that we should have marketed weed as a vitamin early on so that we would be – so that we'd be fighting from an advantage place. It's like, you can't take away a vitamin. You can't make a vitamin illegal.
Oh, yeah, right. And then so, like, the people that were against it would be like, well, you have to admit, I mean, all it really does is kind of kill some cancer cells. It's not technically a vitamin. I mean, it does help with all these other things, but you – yeah, so, yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, that's why – that was exactly with that Affordable Care Act, why Obama didn't start with, like, free medicine. That was like his cock up of the whole situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good starting point. Weed is a vitamin. B17. It sounds good, man. I'm telling you, dude, all these health blogs are all about all the B's, man. When you get to veganism, cause it's so hard to get all the B's at the same time. You got to pair them with, you know, different grains and combinations. And, some people take shots for them. So, like, a new B vitamin to me sounds like something that would put me on the next level. That would open up, like, my sixth eye, like my sixth sense, you know, like my chakras would open up after some B17. But it's cyanide? How much cyanide are they talking about taking? Because I'm still not against it if it's cyanide.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'd imagine you'd need a quack doctor to administer it to you. We can try to find you. We could try to find you a quack to get you on the B17. I'm sure we could get that. I'm sure we have at least one person in the street fight circle that'll be like, hey, you know, this.
I know a doctor. I know a guy. He's a dude I get. Actually, a guy, I met him. He's on the hippie highway. He sends the nitrous canisters. He's technically a dentist, but he only does it to sell nitrous to people. He actually has an inroad on some B-17 if you're interested.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's weird, though.
I would taste a little bit of death, man. Give me one powder, like one grain of cyanide. I'll mess around with it. I'll put that bad boy in my body.
Just to see, because you've convinced me that fermented fruit is a poison. And that a plant that people get joy out of is a poison. Why not just do the other poisons? Just a little tiny bit of the other poisons. We've always said that we would take snake venom in a second.
I want to get messed up on that. I can fight that, man. I beat so many other combinations of things. I'm not scared of most substances these days.
The thing about it is,
old hand to me, man. I seen it all.
Movies make getting bit by a snake look like kind of a low speed tripping.
Yeah.
Which it sounds sweet.
It sounds like if you throw a saddle on that thing, you can ride it into a good time.
Yeah.
Like if you can start being like, man, there's orange cobras everywhere. That's totally awesome. You just run with it.
Because there's like a euphoria and a speediness to most hallucinogens.
Definitely.
You know?
Excitement, man. To be in the world. I ran through, when I was taking mushrooms on the beach in Galveston, I ran through the middle of someone's fire. I almost interrupted a wedding marriage proposal. Yeah, like you're on edge. And definitely some snake venom, because you know if you go to sleep, you're gone. That's the thing, you got to stay awake. Like as soon as you get bit by that snake, it's like, don't. And you know what, man? It's surprising, I think, some of the people that will let them take that down, but that's not me. That's not miss me with that, because like if I get bit by that snake, I'm fighting through it. I'm partying through that thing.
Yeah. You got to see if you can at least make it.
I'm striving. I'm surviving every time.
That's the thing about movies. They paint, they mess everything up, because maybe that's not even how it feels. You know, in Columbus or in Ohio this week, there's a big murder mystery going on. Eight people.
Oh, God. Yeah, man. This was crazy to see. Sorry, go ahead. Go ahead. Set the scene.
Eight people were gunned down in the middle of the state somewhere in between the cities.
Parts unknown.
Yeah.
Where Gummo happens. All y'all that seen Gummo. See, and actually, in all the cities of Ohio, it's regular old metropolitan. We got the same old good coffee, good breweries, the latest fashions, all the Nike Quick Strike account stuff. We have all that in Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Columbus. But the other stuff is wild territory. It's pretty feral out there.
Yeah. And there was a homicide where eight people were killed.
All related too.
Yeah, it was all related. I'm trying to find the story right now. But people are really on the case now. The latest development.
This happened at the site of several illegal marijuana growth facilities. That's what created the intrigue. Eight people from the same family dead in the middle of Ohio at like three or four different grow operations.
Yeah, and here's the thing about it is like if we just legalized the weed, then these people wouldn't have had business. But so what ends up happening now is like these people have been killed. So people are trying to figure out who did the killing, and you're getting this real vision of like that most people's idea of crime comes from Breaking Bad and The Wire. Those are the two.
These are the comments that are showing up on the local news website that's reporting these things.
Yeah. So I've been going through the comments, just watching people kind of speculate as to what is happening, as to how this ended up.
Well,
a lot of people think
it's cartels. I mean, this is the thing about it. These South America, south of the border, gangsters, cholos, and cholettes roll up into any little tiny Midwestern town where there's a dairy station on the corner, and they just start peddling all of their filth, and they're taking it over. I seen it on Breaking Bad. That's who that white man was fighting against when he was selling the good meth.
That's true. Yeah. So, I keep picturing them thinking of the twins from Breaking Bad. That, like, that's who came in and killed all the people. And it's like, now, I'm not saying that it's not possible. I'm saying, why would this redneck family that's already growing marijuana in a state where they can sell a ton of marijuana, like, why would they even get involved with the cartel?
Yeah,
if they grow marijuana.
Yeah, if you live or you own a place where you grow marijuana, you can pretty much walk out your front door and let people know and sell it all. There would be no reason to invite very dangerous cartels into your business.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, and what are the cartels doing here killing these rednecks? I just, man, you know, the middle. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it really is indicative of what people have figured out. And, you know, it's also, at the same time, it kind of seems like people think that this is why people think marijuana is a drug, you know, when it's a lot more boring than what drugs are, you know? And so, like, it sucks that this gets wrapped into it, but it's like, I'm sure that these were just some hillbillies dealing with some people that have you know, signed their contracts in blood.
Dude, you know, they found a cockfighting operation on the land too. I mean, these people were like, they're the kind of people that get shot, really.
Yeah, this is the type of terms that people have to deal with. No one does this for Campbell's soup. Like, no one does this for any other plant, like tulips. You know, there's no one that's, like, putting hits out on people for this type of stuff. It's only because it's illegal. And to me, I mean, it's not shocking. We spend a lot of time in that environment, and even listening to the music about it. This is what happens when things are illegal.
Yeah.
I have to say, if someone murders 8 people in your family, you had it coming in some sort of way. You did something to provoke that. This isn't a matter of, like, someone going to people's homes and taking out a whole family, you know?
Yeah, so they found marijuana, they found grow operations, which, thanks for growing the weed. You know, I can't thank Appreciate you enough it. For growing the weed. Wish you didn't get in this whole shooting thing.
Yeah, it sounds like you were in a bind. It's a real bind here.
Yeah, but the cockfighting I'm not into. I wish you weren't doing cockfighting. That's terrible. But Pike County, you know, that's one of those places that, like, tornadoes hit. You're like, I didn't even know there was a Pike County.
Wow. People were just getting by. I mean, by whatever means they could. And it's weird because people are so, like, informed. I've always believed and had to accept that all the people you work with believe that Jack Bauer is preventing some terrorist from letting a bomb go off at midnight every single night because he tortured someone. Like, a lot of people go to bed every single night thinking that the government tortured the right people to protect them from some dirty bomb.
Yeah. It's so, and this is the same thing. This is that kind of justified type crime. They're like, man, but like, I like seeing how people think that they can, because there are the forensic shows, CSI, NCIS, like all those shows. So everybody has kind of an idea of how it happened. But the cartel thing has been the overriding theme, because Breaking Bad made people afraid of the cartel. Like, that was that show. See, that seemed like that show's central kind of thing. It was like, you know, the cartels are really scary. And that's what most any show about drugs, like Narcos even, was like, man, these cartels, they're very dangerous. And which they are, but I just don't think they're involved with this redneck family in Pike County.
Yeah, I agree with you. And you have to wonder, what's weird for me is that I noticed that it had, like, a sort of a somber tone to it, where I feel like this kind of stuff happens in the inner city and it's not an issue? You know, you talk about places like Chicago, obviously. Chirac.
Well, they would call them gang members.
Yeah.
They would say the 8 gang members, some gang member's family was killed after some, you know, some dispute over cockfighting and crack or whatever, or some kind of, you know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what it would be. It would be criminals. They wouldn't be victims. They wouldn't be looked at as like a slain family. You know?
Yeah, that it's just mind boggling, and I don't care to speak to people that aren't interested in legalizing it. I mean, it just seems so obvious right there. You can't do much to educate people, it seems like. I don't know. People are still so wrong when it comes to understanding these issues. They get their information from the TV. They get their information because squares make up most, squareness is like where most people are at, and they don't touch these type of situations. They don't realize that, I mean, the people that are most afraid of cartels don't do anything and never go to any place where cartels even brush up against.
No. Well, that's the same thing. That's kind of, you know, before we recorded, we were talking about the Target boycott. And about how these people created a problem that doesn't really exist, and then made a law about it in North Carolina. You know,
yeah. We're pretty close to getting off the air here, but I'm going to let you know we're going to keep going after the hour here. If you're in Columbus, Ohio, Street Fight airs every single Sunday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. So you can get us right before your work week. Of course, if you want to get us on that morning commute Monday morning, we'll be right there. Find us on iTunes. Find us on the Stitcher Radio app. We are at streetfightradio.com, or just look for Street Fight Radio, like I said, on any of your apps. You subscribe to the show, you'll get a notification 2 times a week from us. We do right now just 2 shows a week, one uncensored and one on the airwaves under the rules of the FCC. But that's what you get from us. If you want to see us live, I have to let you know, June 10th, it's going down. And for those of you that are in neighboring states, if you're in Pittsburgh, if you're Chicago, if you're Kentucky, DC, Philly, New York, you know, we're going to spread this thing out, and we're working on making it a bigger thing, but we're starting right in our hometown, Cap City, Columbus, Ohio, C-Bus, the one and only 614. It's happening June 10th, 7 p.m., Friday night. Come hang out with Street Fight. Me and Brian are going to give you an hour of the best revolutionary comedy that you've ever seen. We're going to also, for those of you that aren't in Columbus, we are going to make it available via Streamcast or Periscope or some sort of live thing. But we're moving upwards and onwards towards spreading this mess across the U.S. This is the perfect time to jump on the bandwagon. If you've been upset with Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton being your choice for the government leader, for your dictator, this is the time to get on this. We're running as far away as we can from that, and we're creating a movement that upends all of that and gives us more free time, more time to party and get to know each other and spend time doing the things that we want to do and the things that we were meant to do to provide within our communities. So stay tuned, as always. StreetFightRadio.com is the place to find our central hub for all information that you need. And then, of course, big ups to WCRS, best community radio you're going to find anywhere in the entire globe. Look it up, WCRSFM.org. Go to programs. Right there is a list of some of the best radio you can get. Give it a listen. I'm happy to keep this going. This is a lifelong project. So if you've been around for a while, we appreciate it. But getting down right now is just fine with me as well. And this Target boycott, for me, what it always comes down to is, why are people looking at my ding-a-ling? I feel like everybody I know that likes the comical conservative, everybody that I know that likes IJ Daily or the Independent Journal, and people that I know that watch Fox News, now I know that the whole time you've just been looking at my crotch and wondering about what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah. It's turned into a really strange thing, because like the people, and I saw this I saw this somewhere, but the people that say that gun-free zones don't stop people from, you know, shooting places up, which is completely true, are now arguing that a law saying that a predator can't go into a bathroom is going to stop that from happening. You know? And when really it makes a second class group of people. It makes life uncomfortable for some people.
Well, for me, it complicates an issue that has been taken care of since forever. The bathroom has always been awkward as hell, and no one in there is trying to start nothing since I ever been going to the goddamn bathroom in my motherfucking life. There's been no reason to put rules on this shit. You know, sometimes if I go to the club, someone too drunk will put their arm on me while I'm at the urinal. And I know that, but if I go to them type of places, that's what I sign up for. That's me respecting the space and what it does. You know, like, those people are going to be too fucked up that they'll touch you while you pee. But other than that, the bathroom has been straight my whole life. Like, everything's been cool. I'm sure there's been some fellows in there that I have no idea sat down on that toilet and peed out of a vagina, and I don't give a shit about, or urethra, I'm sorry. And I don't, like, to me, this issue is so weird that they focus on this.
Yeah. I mean, there's stalls in all the bathrooms. That's a fact. Like, let's just not even look at each other. We don't need to interact in the bathroom. Okay. And we don't. Most people don't. It's just in and out, in and out, in and out, you know?
This is what they're focused on though. This is like, it really is just being petty. This is being petty as hell. And it's an attack on people like us that never gave a shit about what the person next to us was doing when they took a shit. I don't care what was in your pants. I was never involved with that. But these people can never get out of their mind. These are the same people that thought homosexuality would lead to bestiality. Like, these are the sick motherfuckers that come up with some crazy ass situations, but now we're making laws about it?
Yeah, and it's very like, so the Comical Conservative is sponsoring a boycott of Target. That's what they want to do. They're like, you know, we got this petition.
What did Target do?
So Target said, just use the bathroom of the gender that you identify.
Please,
with.
Please.
You know?
We just want to sell things, and like, the bathroom has never been a problem before, and all of a sudden it's a fucking battleground, and we don't pay these people enough. There's not enough time or effort that we don't need to put any effort towards what's going on in the bathroom at this point, besides keeping it neat and tidy and stocked.
Yeah. Yeah. We check on it like every half hour. There's a little thing you sign on the door.
We sign
after you do it. So, I mean, people are looking in, you know?
I actually, there are trans people that I know worry about going to a different bathroom if they're not passing enough for certain types of assholes that want to create a commotion. So, like, that's an issue that is still going on, but as far as any of the other stuff, I mean, there still has never been there has been no child molesters out there that have even thought to throw on a dress and go into a woman's restroom to go touch some kids. Like, there's no evidence of it. Like, so now we're making laws. They're using the government. They're using bureaucracy and the language of the law and certain authorized signatures that these people in North Carolina that have been claimed by the imaginary lines that make up North Carolina now have to have a pass to go to the restroom. And that pass has to match whatever this police officer who's going to look at what's in between their legs says.
Yeah. Yeah, and so the first day this petition rolls out, they're like, we're not going to shop at Target anymore. 200,000 signatures. They're like, this thing's gaining steam. And I'm like, I mean, uh-oh. Not really.
Big problems for Target. 200,000 people clicked online. Please, I do 1.5 million clicks a day.
Yeah.
Please, 200,000 ain't shit.
So then yesterday, there's an update that's like, oh, this Target boycott has hit critical mass. I'm like, shit, whoa. Okay, now I got to click on this link. I click on the link. they got 700,000 signatures.
And these are people saying that they're not going to shop at Target anymore simply because they want to stop talking about the restrooms.
Yeah, and they filled it out. They went to do a petition because 600,000 of them either were never going to go to Target or they're going to go to Target. You know, like yeah, they're just going to shop.
Target is the only time they get away from their husband. I don't want to be too hetero here, but there's a lot of women out there that have a Target red card, and it's the only reprieve they get away from their husband that just wants to watch football all day.
They can go to the husband. Like, most of the signatures probably are those husbands, too, that sit at home and watch football.
Hell yeah, I wouldn't go. I wouldn't step a goddamn foot in there. Every time we do, it costs me $89.50.
Yeah, so she goes in there and she buys him some socks and underwear and a Pink Floyd shirt every year.
She picks out his fucking clothes. I don't like the pants she picks out for me. Some fucking curmudgeon asshole that complains about his fucking Easy Glide lifestyle.
Yeah, but he's like, I ain't going to shop at Target anymore. It's like, it's not up to you. You weren't shopping. You were going there anyway, motherfucker. And yeah, then it's the other people that are like, oh, I know I said I wasn't going to shop at Target, but I just got to run in there and do something. You know?
Yeah, you know what? There's no other store that sells Nate Berkus comforters for $49.99. You know, there's no, when I look at what, like, the destitute type of dystopian world that Walmart sells, the lowest bidder possible, the cheapest, most jankiest items available, Target is like a beacon of hope that you don't have to have the lowest standards possible.
It's one step up.
It's saying, like, I care a little bit about how I present myself to the world. I mean, you know, like, their clothes, I mean, there are clothes at least that look like you bought them at JCPenney or Kohl's or something. Like, they look like you went to a place that didn't sell produce as well as clothing.
Yeah. So the Young Cons now, today, they have a story. And it is, they're like, this is big. This is huge. I mean, we're winning this. We're winning this battle. Okay,
it's a sea change. It's a sea change. We're going to root up all of these transgenders. We're going to make them dress the sex that they were born with, and they'll follow our rules and be good Christians, and we'll all fly the American flag once again.
Yeah. Yeah. And Target's going to go out of business, by the way. That's
fuck
for
Target,
sure.
Man.
Or they're going to reverse.
Fuck Target, man. Target, you don't give a fuck about who uses your restrooms? Fuck you, Target.
So the laziest fucking thing in the world, of course, their activism, is to do a boycott. Now, that's not a boy.
Oh, Jesus.
We're saying boycott.
And, a boycott. And
they want to go to Walmart, which I don't even know if Walmart cares about the bathroom situation. You know, they probably didn't take a firm stance either.
Walmart is looking at, they're like, no, we have to pay somebody to monitor the bathroom now. Like, they literally have everyone's steps planned for, like, they have everyone's time planned down to the minute. They're like, we can't spend no time for people to be monitoring the restrooms. There hasn't been a problem in the restrooms. No transgender people have gone into either restroom and created a problem in the history of Walmart. So you're costing us money now because you made up an imaginary situation where if you were the type of person that was transgender, the first thing you would do is start fucking taking advantage of people. Like, because you have a sick, twisted fucking mind.
So here's
Ted
the
Cruz
big
has
bomb.
A fucked up mind, and now he's forcing it on the rest of us.
He does. So here's what the Young Cons quoted from Charisma News. By the way, that's the news source. That's the source for this claim.
Well, I'm already drawn into it. I'm a sucker for Charisma.
Yeah, we all are.
Big Blues. They should have called Big Blues Blog.
Yeah, so
Baby Blues Blog.
This is such an amazing thing. Faith-driven consumer, FDC is the name of the group, representing 41 million Americans who spend $2 trillion annually, has earned
nobody's got $2 trillion. We ain't got that, man.
No. And I've, 41 people's million
lying.
Americans.
People are lying. Oh, yes, I have a vast array of investments in very divergent and dynamic markets. Absolutely, I do. That's I always say that when I'm among my peers.
So they have spent, I mean, they have earned worldwide recognition for the groundbreaking Faith Equality Index. So the Faith Equality Index scores 500 major brands for compatibility with the FDC community, the faith-driven consumer community.
Sure.
And also for its faith-friendly film review.
Faith yeah. first, before anything else. It comes faith before family, faith before my husband, my wife, faith before everything. It's all about faith.
So the interesting thing is that, like, this doesn't say that Walmart made any kind of demand or made any kind of ruling. It's just, like, this company made up this scale from 1 to 500, and Walmart does way better than Target.
Yeah, because they don't work with anybody that has any sort of queer tendencies.
Actually, it's a faith equality index, and it's out of 100. And Target, it in the faith equality or the faith hey, equality y'all. Index.
Walmart is just so great, y'all. They do all the American values just right. We get our items, and we get it for dirt cheap. Yes, sirree. We will exploit anybody around the world. It doesn't matter. We get it for the best price. We don't give a shit what it is. We eat on paper plates every night. We wouldn't dare buy something you had to wash, not us.
Yeah. So it says here that amidst growing consumer backlash over Target's decision announcement, which it's like, now there's not that big of a consumer backlash. It's not affecting Target.
Nobody knows. I mean, we're like niche reporting on this. Everybody I know is going to go to Target this weekend and buy some shit.
Yeah. So the Target's Faith Equality Index number is 39 out of 100, Brad.
Which is abysmal. That's abysmal. Yeah, it's an F. Because during the last Father's Day, they had two dads on there grab-assing. Like, that was okay.
Yeah. Well, now they have, like,
two sexy-ass dads can't get it on a Target ad these days? Come on, man. Calm down. These people are too much, man. I don't get what they... Like, everybody's lives are so boring. They make up way more sexual crimes and perversions that even exist.
Yeah, well, this is such a huckster operation. This is so great. Walmart had, which they call Target's arch rival, has a 51 out of 100 faith index, faith equality.
Oh, that's
index
not very
score.
Impressive. That's not Christian Science bookstore or whatever the faith bookstore I go to. Surely scores higher.
Yeah,
I just wish they would carry some more faith based fruits and vegetables.
Well, I mean, like, how gullible do you have to be like, well, I guess this is such a cynical, faith. Yeah, this is faith.
There's a
this
lot
is
of
as
basic,
faith as
the most basic ass church is basically, you need to believe harder. And you're like, I don't know what to do. And they don't give you any instructions. They're like, you're not believing hard enough at all. And then it's just all like a shame based pity. Like, I suck. But I know that faith, I believe in faith, really. I mean, it's like you have to have faith in faith. That's the type of consumer they're looking for.
Yeah. 700,000 signatures and then a huckster company scored you high. Scored Walmart just slightly higher. 39 to 51. There's not a company. I mean, I wonder what a 100 is. It's probably just one of them Christian bookstores. Probably.
Yeah, that would have to be it. I mean, it would just be someone that, from what I know, is they would pull down your pants and perform a full inspection on your underwear and genitalia to look for any fecal matter, to look for any evidence of sex, to look for any evidence of any sort of use of your genitalia. I mean, would bar you from entrance in the type of place that gets a 100 on the faith-based index. Sorry. I mean, like, that's what really bugs me, man, is that, like, you know, for me, it sucks because, you know, I can't use my superior intellect to get these people to just stop this fight. And I also can't use my fist to just punch them into submission. So it's like, it's not fair that those of us that aren't thinking up these master schemes of putting on a dress and fucking children in the bathroom, like, it's just not fair. Like, those people should be slapped. Like, the same way that they believe that in Casablanca, he should slap that woman in the end, or, like, Sean Connery should slap a woman in the face. Like, this is the type of hysteria that, like, we shouldn't be acknowledging. When someone is like, I think someone's going to perform, to do something that's never happened. Why are we being forced to react to something that's never happened? Somebody thought of it.
Yeah,
we need to prevent that. That's the most important thing right now, is preventing something that I thought might happen in my twisted fucking mind.
It's the knockout game. That's the knockout
game. It's the knockout game. It is.
Yeah.
And that's how they get by. How do we plow those people down? Like, we have to just get... This is the problem, is like, if I want to take over the dictatorship, those are the people that have to just be eliminated, right? I mean, if you're not down with the get down, if you're not down to let someone live the life that they want to be happy, then, like, you got to go. That's the reality.
On your Bernie Sanders kill list?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, fuck Bernie, man, in your fucking kill list, dog. Hey, man, he's pretty wild. He gets wild. He'll say some crazy shit, man. You don't need to send a Hellfire missile at his funeral, like, his brother's funeral, or over at his, like... You know, during Ramadan and shit, why are you fucking around with that artillery like that?
Well, if you're going to do it, man, you need a guy in a suit with a silencer on his
That's gun. What they want. And that's what it you is. Know? That's who killed them boys in Ohio. It was like some Russian guy that listens to some interesting and niche and exclusive classical music. It's some guy that does, like, wakes up and does 500 squats, 100 push-ups, and listens to, you know, Tchaikovsky, and has, you know, brews coffee, like, grounds it with his own fists, punches it, and, you know, it's like they always want it to be some character instead of someone that's, like, so desperate that they'll kill people for a lot of money. I mean, a lot of us are there. I mean, if, you know, that's even where, like, Hillary Clinton is at. Like, when she was... figuring out what to do in Haiti and things, she was dealing with people's lives. And it was like, how much money can I make versus how much people will die? That's where America's at. Like, that's the level they're on. That's economics.
Yeah. All right. I think we,
went too hard. Did I go too hard? I was trying to not make it. I do that sometimes, but I can't help.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're allowed to, that's the way it is, man. Sometimes you got to scream at them at the end and let them know, like, hey,
This is serious.
I mean, business, too. Well, you know, we were... I know we joke around a lot.
Yeah, go spit on somebody in a fucking suit this week or something. Yell at your boss. Like, go put bologna on their car in the middle of the night or something. The people that want to keep the status quo in check, don't follow what they say. That's what we're going with. We will be back, as always, next week. I have a good interview show planned because I had to cancel one earlier this week. So you're going to get 3 street fights next week. They're all going to be great. I hope you'll enjoy them. There will be other content as always. If you want to support what we do right now, to be honest, like, money is the only thing that I need. I've been taking a lot of time away from mystery shopping and, you know, making money to promote the live show and promote Street Fight and work on doing things to make this a full-time job and to make this something that happens all the time. And so really what that comes down to is money. As we've let you know over the last few weeks, we took on Tree of Woe, Justin, Tree of Woe on Twitter. Justin, big help. He's been taking over the social media. All that badass music, all those cool fucking links you've been getting are as a result of him. He's been a wonderful addition to the Street Fight crew. So big thank you to Justin as always. And to those of you on Twitter, give him a follow. He always has something to share. TREEOFWHOA. But I got to pay him too. Like, I want to make sure he gets money. And I think that those of you that are listening to the show, you can spare some dollars. I don't normally call people out for their donations, but I have to say that I really appreciate Matt out there. Brixton Matt on Twitter signed up for our Patreon, and he decided to give us $1 a month, which is like the best fucking investment that you could make. I truly appreciate that. My money is tight. You know, I don't have extra money. I send money to the podcast I like from time to time. I make sure to spread it around. But, you know, if everybody that listened to Street Fight went to Patreon and donated $1 a month, we'd be able to do a lot more live shows. We can take this, you know, to California. We can take it across the South to Texas. We have connections all over the globe. And, you know, we can spread this. Right now, it's a matter of being a paper chase. And I'm taking time away from making money. So if you want to support Street Fight and what we do and the message that we promote, we promise we only want to be a bigger nuisance. And this thing is going to grow to something that changes, you know, what we do as people, how we party and how we spend our free time and the way that we organize. We want to make it so that there's a voice out there promoting horizontal organization. So thank you, everybody. And if you're in on patreon.com/streetfightradio, you can donate per month to keep this show going. I'm paying for SoundCloud. I'm paying for social media management. I'm paying for website costs. I pay for a lot of other things to keep this thing going. I also want to start drawing some sort of paycheck, and I need to get this. So please help us out. You know, that's what we need right now. As always, we will keep this going, and expect us to be there. You're always going to get everything we do for free. If you want to come out to the live show, it's June 10th in Columbus, Ohio. That's a Friday night, 7 p.m. It's only an hour of your time, so come check us out. We're going to have a party afterwards. We'll come smoke weed with you, bring us some mushrooms or whatever you got, and we'll do some farming, whatever bag of pills you can bring along. We're interested, and that's happening on June 10th in Columbus, Ohio. It's at Cafe Kerouac, and I mentioned it before. Pittsburgh, Windsor, Detroit, Chicago, Lexington, any of these places, D.C., we can make our way to you. We can put on a show, and we're working towards that. And what we really need, what gets the wheels in motion in this fucking world, is money. You know, that's where we're at. Like it or not, I'm pragmatic as hell when it comes to that shit. I need spending cash, and I'm going to put it in the right direction. It's going to be keeping punks and heshers and people that are outside of society in cash and rent and money, and that's what we're going with. So patreon.com/streetfightradio. If you become a subscriber, you're going to get access to our live show. Once we put it up, you won't be required to pay or anything like that. I'm going to post it up there. You'll get the first crack at it. And give it a thought if you can, to help us out in keeping this thing going. We appreciate you as always. You can find us on Twitter. We're at StreetFightWCRS. You can find us on Facebook by just going to facebook.com/StreetFightWCRS. If you want some of the red hot memes and photos that we got, we're on Instagram. Our name is Street Fight Radio. Find us and give us a follow. I always give you the hookup and the update via video. I'm on Snapchat, Instagram, and Twitter. The name is the same. It's at Brett Payne, BRETTPAIN. Brian's most prolific and legendary work can be found on Twitter. He's at Murder Brian, MurderBryan. Or on Facebook, just Brian Quinby with an N, not like the guy from The Simpsons. We'll see you next week. I got a good song for you. This one hit me in a good place this week. It's one of my favorite artists of all time. It's Jesse Ware from the album Devotion. Enjoy it and dig down deep into those fill-ins. We're Street Fight. Peace. I wish I was you.